Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, Cesario turns in an epic Chet Waterhouse. Any young comedians or comedic writers, really listen closely. The specificity and the detail that he puts in to this extended dance version of Chet Waterhouse is coming up. Then we go into the news with all my thoughts and insights. First, Mercari. Got stuff you don't use, cluttering the house. Kid's baseball glove doesn't fit anymore. Dress, maybe you've only worn it one time. Old phone in a drawer. Don't throw it out. Don't put it in a landfill. Let's go with Mercari. It's a selling app that makes it fast and easy to sell almost anything. Simply take a few pictures of the item you want to sell, add a description, and your item's listed. Mercari will even email you a shipping label when it sells. It is that easy. 500,000 plus reviews at the App Store. Average 4.8 star rating. Doesn't get much better than that, people. So don't let the stuff go to waste, and don't get all the clutter built up in the entry hall and in the garage. Get rid of it and get paid some cash with Mercari. Find Mercari at the App Store or at Mercari.com. M-E-R-C-A-R-I. Mercari, the selling app.
ACS fans, get it on. We wanted to take a moment to tell you, if you haven't signed up for the Carolla newsletter yet, you're missing out. Every Saturday, you'll get exclusive video content you can't get anywhere else, behind-the-scenes stories, and a new giveaway each and every week. We've already given out an all-expense-paid trip to L.A. to watch the Super Bowl with Ace. And this week, three lucky winners will get an ACS t-shirt signed by Adam, Brian, and Gina. Enter for your chance to win at CarollaNewsletter.com today.
Chet Waterhouse is here. We'll do that in a second. I had an interesting observation. I was thinking about, was it you, Max Zapata, or was it Dawson? I can't remember. Who sent me the big mural? It was you, Max Zapata. Cecil the Lion on the restaurant.
It wasn't me.
Who was that?
It might have been Nate or somebody. It was in San Diego. Somebody. It wasn't me. I know that because you've asked me that before.
I have. I can't remember. Oh, I don't know who sent. Anyway, there's a big picture, big mural of we won't forget Cecil.
Nice.
Cecil the Lion. But it's also in a place in San Diego that has a big Marine base next to it. And I bet a lot of people have died. There's no mural.
No mural to that.
Just so you know what the pecking order is.
Giant Cecil is there. Yeah. I always think about the reaction that we had to Cecil the Lion. And then I also was just thinking about how much everyone loves a big cat, how majestic they are.
Absolutely.
When people see a Black Panther, you make a movie called Black Panther, and you know, there's so many images of the cheetah, the panther, the lion,
the king of the forest,
the king of the jungle. We're really enamored with leopard. I mean, think about all the leopard print that's not even leopard skin, just purple, yoga pants. And it's print everywhere. It's we love leopard print. We love the print. We love the thing. When you're a prize fighter or a magician, the second you get rich, you go right with the big cats, right?
Yeah.
That's what got the rest in peace, Cecil, 2002 to 2015. Anyway, it's out front of a restaurant in San Diego. Now, the point is this. We love it. They're majestic. These are big cats. Little cats, house cats, alley cats, regular sized cats, that splits the room. People aren't not. I know a lot of people have fucking no time for cats, don't like cats.
Yeah.
I had a roommate with a shitty cat. Right. You know, it's like, you go majestic cat, big cat, 1,000% approval. You go small cat, it's like, get it out of here.
Yeah.
Get them out.
There's a city council meeting over that mural.
Right. Yeah. So now it's just
snowball can't get painted on the side of a restaurant?
You would think that we would just kind of do a math. We're 100% in love with the big version of this. And then I started thinking about, now where are we at with dogs. I have a huge dog that I love, but Paris Hilton has a miniature dog that she loves equally. We don't really do the size thing with dogs.
Well, part of it is because I think because dogs size up, the gradation is very gradual. Cats, there's little cats, but there's no 50-pound cat in the middle where that you can walk around.
That's right. But I think it's kind of rich man, poor man.
You know what? That'd be
giving us a lot of consideration.
What about a lynx?
Yeah, what about a lynx?
Yeah, but they're not, they're wild. You can't put a lynx on a leash.
Yeah, you shouldn't
try them through downtown Camarillo.
Everybody loves a giant cat.
On your way to the malls.
And everybody loves a kitten.
Oh, they do love kittens.
But that's the rich man, poor man of it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you know, Jeff, I don't want to tell you your business, but when you say put a lynx on a leash, you really need to pick a town that starts with an L.
Yeah.
I think so.
Lancaster.
You want with Camarillo, but you can't just take a lynx, put them on a leash, and walk them through downtown, and that's
Laughlin.
Where the L. Laughlin. Right.
It is Laughlin,
Right. Camarillo's fine, but it just didn't quite finish the inning.
I like the malls in Camarillo. I like the idea
the outlets.
Of walking into a mall with a mid-sized cat on a leash.
But we all love the big ones.
Pounder.
Can we find a lynx on a leash?
We hate the little ones, or medium ones, or it splits the room at least, and then we all agree on the miniature ones, which is the kittens.
Yeah, everybody loves kittens.
It's a kind of it's a complicated relationship we have. We don't have with dogs. I mean, everyone loves puppies, and then everyone loves anyone that love their medium size and they're small and they love it right on through. We found a picture of a lynx on a leash.
There you go, buddy.
That's right.
They killed their owner shortly after this picture. That's also the downside of a lynx on a leash.
Why we probably shouldn't have quite the respect for Dr. Seuss that I think we all have, which is I feel like Cesario, if I gave him a steno pad, could sit down and do a lynx on a leash. Well, remember, each page only needs 9 words.
That's right.
So you just title it Lynx on a Leash,
right.
And then there's some mischief he gets into when he jumped up on the dinner table, and then you turn the page.
Sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm. The dangerous support animals is it seems to be a very small category as well.
Yeah. The emu.
They don't last long.
Like if you had a badger on a plane.
Turkey.
An ocelot.
You know, the thing about claws is claws are scary in and of themselves, but the retractable claws are the scariest. That's the switchblade. That's the stiletto. Yeah. You know what I mean? I can deal a guy with a pocket knife, but the stiletto's illegal. And to me, the retractable claws are much more dangerous than the ones that are just out there.
Lynx on a leash, not with retractable claws.
All right, shall we do a little Chet Waterhouse?
The Sports with Chet Waterhouse.
Oh, brother, time for the Waterhouse update brought to you by Carpe Diem, the blackjack app that lets you live for today. NCAA tourney, more Cinderellas than one of those sickening toddler beauty pageants. Dayton moves from also ran to swipe left. UCLA pulls the Lazarus back from the dead. San Diego State sneaking up faster than Joe Biden after his B12 shot. North Carolina missing the tourney for the first time since cigarettes were good for your digestion. But Kansas, like unhinged pandemic fears, they just keep coming at you. And both Duke and Kentucky lurking like teenage you outside your ex-girlfriend's house. Finally, Bernie Sanders' lackluster second place finish on Super Tuesday dropped him to a number 2 seed in Joe Lunardi's bracketology. That wrap-up sponsored by Sammy Shammy, the only car chamois autographed by Sammy Davis Jr. NFL Combine! That's where draft picks, Gina, work out before and then after eating HGH stuffed empanadas. Jalen Hurts made the other quarterbacks look as white as RuPaul's snow boots. Wisconsin's Jonathan Taylor ran faster than Mike Bloomberg from a press conference about non-disclosure agreements. And Washington quarterback Jacob Eason suffered a severely lacerated ego and was rushed to Indianapolis' Mike Pence Medical Center, where he was bored for 2 hours and released. That wrap-up sponsored by Mankiewicz.com. Date both Josh and Ben Mankiewicz at Mankiewicz.com. XFL, The Tucson Border Sneakers beat the Daytona Dipsticks 11-8 on a 4-point bonus for a tastefully nude celebration. Not the rule change I was looking for. Spring training! Scandal retaliation 18. Houston Astros have been hit by a pitch so far. 7 of them in the parking lot and 1 at a strip club. NBA! Almost time to start watching. And finally, this week in sports history, the year 1904, the place Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. The Montreal Wanderers lost the Stanley Cup to Ottawa when they refused to stay and play a second game in Ottawa. It's been over a century and Ottawa has not improved. This Waterhouse update brought to you by Pig Screen TV. Now you can watch TV and cook bacon with Pig Screen TV. If you want more of me this weekend, I'll be in Ake, Nevada, calling the 13th annual World Series of Gin Rummy for the Assisted Living Network. Better put Red Bull in my rider for that, baby. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse Sports.
Oh, God. Epic. I felt like it was an extra page and a half than we normally get from you.
It snuck a little extra in there because there was so many and there was so much good so much political stuff to tie to.
I got to text Ben and Josh right now.
That was real good. So funny. God, it's good. So good. All right. And for that, my friend, you get a plug. The podcast, Play with Pain with Chet Waterhouse, available on Apple Podcasts, and the album, What Was I Thinking? That's coming up in the end of April, so make sure and plug that. And for live dates and events, JeffCesario.com. All right. Why don't we just take a quick break? Oh, do I got Simply Safe here? Sorry. Let me hit Simply Safe, and we'll take a break, and we'll do the news. Yeah? Is that what you want to do? Simply Safe, home security. Well, there's two ways to protect your home. You go a traditional way. Wait a few weeks for the technician to do a messy install that costs a small fortune. Or there's the Simply Safe way. Two I's in there. Thank you very much. Simply Safe. Everything you need in a home security system. It's award-winning protection. Two-time winner, the CNET Editor's Choice Award. Blankets your home in safety. You barely notice it's there. The components are real small. The batteries are small. They last up to 10 years. Peel and stick, up and running in about a half hour. You set it up yourself. Anyone can do it. And order what you need online. Get a break on your homeowner's or renter's insurance. And they have an army of highly trained security experts ready to dispatch police to your home at a moment's notice, 24/7. It is Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
See why The Verge calls Simply Safe the best home security system. Check it out today at simplysafe.com/Adam. Get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial at simplysafe.com/Adam. Simplysafe.com/Adam.
All right, take a quick break. Come back with Gina and Jeff and Ball in the news.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, we do have some big breaking news. More Crank Yankers is on the way, according to Deadline.com. I hope you were aware of this.
I was. I had it. I had a list of stuff I wanted to get to, but I bumped that with cat talk.
That's okay. We'll get to it.
Steeped in the cat world.
Understood.
Where Crank Yankers are more for a peripheral sort of player.
It's not really
mid-range thing. Cat took your mind right off Crank Yankers.
Yeah, I don't pay the bills with Crank Yankers.
No.
It's cat talk, cat size talk.
That's
specifically.
Right.
That's how I keep the lights on at the Corolla house.
Comedy Central has ordered a new 20-episode season of the hit revival series from original creators Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Carolla, and Danny Two Sheets.
Danny Two Sheets.
Crank Yankers returns on September, or it did return last September 25th, was Comedy Central's best series launch in 3 years, per Nielsen. The current season resumes March 17th. It's going to follow the premiere of Tosh.0.
It's nice. It was something we did in, like, I don't know, 02, 03, and, you know, it was just an idea, and Jimmy always made prank phone calls, and always wanted to do a show with those phone calls. We just never knew how to actually reconstruct them, and at some point the puppets came in.
What was the name? What was the original name?
It was called Prank Puppets. And that was our working title. Jeff knows that when you're creating a TV show, you have to call it something so you know what you're talking about to delineate it from working on The Man Show or whatever it is. And we just always just called it Prank Puppets, Prank Puppets, Prank Puppets. And then at some point, I don't know, it's like naming a cat or a dog or something. You start to, it starts to fit and you start to like it.
Yeah.
Even though we didn't like Prank Puppets to begin with. We weren't enamored with it. We just sort of gave it that working title. But after a number of months of working on the show we called Prank Puppets, we liked it and it fit the show. And then the Comedy Central lawyer said we couldn't use Prank Puppets.
Well, and it's also a good chew toy to throw into the network execs room. While you're trying to get the show done.
Right.
You go, you know what? We're not really sure what the title. Go! And they just, and while you're actually making funny shows.
Do they not want the word prank in the title?
I don't know. It was one of the more epic arguments I've probably ever had with a group of people on the phone. All I remember is Jimmy and I were in his room in New York. We must have been doing, you know, if you think about it, Max Zapata, you think about the timing of it. I'm trying to think of what me and Jimmy were doing in New York. Me and Jimmy were probably in New York doing the Hugh Hefner roast about the same time we were trying to work out the Crank Yankers with Comedy Central. So I would assume that the Hugh Hefner roast, which was after 9/11, a couple of weeks, I'm guessing Crank Yankers probably came out the next year or something in that. I don't know what we were doing in New York, but I was in his hotel room and we had the Comedy Central people and like their attorneys on the speakerphone, like back, like next to Jimmy's bed. And I was just yelling at them the entire time.
That's actually a great combination of gigs because a lot of your acerbic roast material can be used on the network execs.
Yeah, Crank Yankers was
the material.
Sorry, Hugh Hefner Rose was at the end, had to be toward the end of 2001. It was probably in
after
9/11. So it was toward the end of one, and then Crank Yankers came out in June. So says Chris, of 2002. So we're probably discussing, you know, we got to put up billboards and get merch printed up and show titles and everything. So we're probably getting into it about then. And they just said Prank Puppets was too dangerous, too risky from a litigation standpoint because it implied malice and we'd get sued by somebody we called. And I couldn't figure it out. I just couldn't figure out why Prank and Puppet was a title that crossed the line according to their attorneys, and I was going nuts on them. But
that'll drive
me
crazy.
Screaming into a phone conversation. I've had many showbiz related conversations where I was more confused than I was angered. Like I eventually turned to anger, but I still to this day, you say to 1,000 people, when I tell people this story, they go, "But what's wrong with Prank Puppets?" And I go, "I don't. Nobody
exactly
knows.
Nobody
questions.
No one could ever explain it. They couldn't explain it, but they still did. The part that made me go from I went from Sam Kinison to full Vavoom. Vavoom was a character from a cartoon I used to watch when I was a kid. If you look up Vavoom, and it was this guy who's like his power was yelling.
He would just come in and go,
"Vavoom!" And all of a sudden there'd be an avalanche. You know, "Vavoom!" I went to full Vavoom into the speakerphone.
I've never heard of Vavoom.
He was
hilarious.
By the way, Jimmy was like, "You got to calm down." And Jimmy's usually, "I'm the good cop."
Oh, wow.
He'd be bad cop. Oh, yeah.
Not America's Jimmy Kimmel.
That's a nice role.
Oh, reversal. No. This is the other Jimmy Kimmel. And they'd have like...
This is chubby guy named Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Jimmy the sports guy?
All the execs were middle-aged females. And it'd be like
Lauren Correa.
It'd be like a Debbie Liebling on the phone. And Debbie Liebling is on the phone. And she'd be like, "Done with Jimmy, done with Daniel. Tired of those two assholes." And then Daniel would go like... don't you, Adam, talk to her. Pick up the phone. And Adam, I pick up the phone. Hey, Debbie, how you doing? How are the kids? You're good. How's your husband? Hey, he's doing some, Alan's doing some great directing for us over here. All right, so anyway, there's that joke where the two women are walking on the beach and they're talking about douche, and she says garbage barge, and I know, but let me see if we can really break that one down. I just finesse her because she kind of
that's impressive.
You were the nice one.
I was the nice one.
That's impressive.
I was
considered.
I don't know. Maybe I. You know, I always did appeal when I was in high school. The chicks I liked never liked me, but their moms did.
Oh, so yeah.
I had great mom appeal. Yeah. Maybe there was a little of that mom appeal when I was 34
sure,
that was cutting through some of it, you know? Kimmel and Kelson, they don't have mom appeal.
No.
I like Beth Ringwald when I was 17. Beth Ringwald didn't like me, but Adele Ringwald, her mom,
sure,
did. Like, there was... I could be like, what's wrong with him? Well,
they could smell working man off you.
Yeah.
He's a guy who's worked for a living.
Maybe that was
maybe
it.
I can deal with him.
And if they baked, and like Adele would bake a pie, I'd eat the whole pie. She'd serve me up the pie. Oh, this is, more milk. Thank you.
Yes,
and
please.
She'd be like, my husband doesn't even like, he's crazy. He's a crazy man.
Cool.
Who wouldn't enjoy your pie? Maybe it's just me consuming baked goods that won her over.
Nothing wrong with that. Whatever works.
I'd have to be the good cop, and then I went nuts. I went full Vavoom, because at some point, can we hear Vavoom? It was with Felix the cat.
That's right.
Vavoom! No! Run this way! Vavoom!
He creates an avalanche.
Wow.
A rock slide.
You just keep yelling Vavoom.
Wow.
Built a dam by yelling Vavoom.
That cartoon sucks.
Entertainment, we used to have to...
There's a reason why Gene and I haven't heard about this.
Yeah,
it didn't stand the test of time.
Lost to history.
I've never brought it up in my life. I just thought about watching Felix the Cat, which I didn't like, but I remember there's a character called Vavoom, and he just yelled Vavoom.
Very hard phrase to put any manliness into.
Yeah.
Vavoom.
Yeah, that's like zhuzh.
Yes. It's a strip club name. Vavoom.
So when I went full Vavoom on the speakerphone is when at some point the lawyers
the Vavoom room.
Yeah.
They always pull this move where it drives me nuts. It's also insulting where they do the lawyer. He goes, when I heard prank puppets, I was nervous. I was nervous. I got to tell you, but I walked it up the hall to talk to Herb Eastman. He about fell out of his chair. And I was like, you fucking lie. You're such a liar. You're such a liar. Yeah. Herb Eastman, if he does exist, did not fucking fall out of his chair when you told him prank puppets. No fucking way. Like, that's fucking insulting. You never did that. I don't know if that guy exists. And if he fucking fell out of his chair because you said prank puppet, he's a fucking pussy. And I just went.
Yeah, you
I went
full
Vavoom. I went Vavoom.
Yeah.
And I told them I was going Vavoom, and they had no idea what that reference was. All right, Gina. Crank Yankers is
it's back.
It's back.
That's great.
Yeah, it is.
Sponsored by Pinocchio's, Nevada's only all puppet brothel.
Oh, wow.
Pinocchio's. And you're doing voices, yes, this season?
Yeah, we have a little video that we'll throw up at AdamCarolla.com.
Let's watch it.
I realize they video them now, and you can watch the call being made as well as the actual acting out with like a split.
Oh, that's cool.
They
that's
did a
good.
Split screen. So I'll just show you 30 seconds of it. It's me just sitting and doing my character acting it out. What's the best for weight control?
For weight control? You know, that is a good question.
I told her, like, if peanut butter's good if you want to give your cat an antibiotic or to rub on your areolas, but it's not good in jest.
Right. I mean, not in super large quantities, no, because it is a super high fat content.
You guys do golden beets?
We don't have golden beets. I know we have, like, some beetroot powder.
Yeah, I made a beet powder smoothie, and about 10 hours later, I was on the pot doing my business. Looked down, looked like Rosemary's Baby in that toilet. Now, that's happened to the best of us, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So here's my little invention, and this could make you a real hit at the Whole Foods.
It's a beat measure, but it's a split screen where it's kind of entertaining to watch the actual call being made.
Every episode's going to be like that, or this is a promo?
No, I think it's like a promo.
They post
you
a few on
it.
YouTube.
Oh,
yeah,
I love
so
that.
They definitely put Adam's up. But it's really fun to watch because you can just see Adam cracking up and having to be quiet about it.
That's smart, though. That's a really smart idea to do a little bit of an insert screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. The downside of it is now I got to put gel in my hair before I go cold.
That's true.
Yeah, get all gussied.
I got to gel up. I've just worn sweat jacket and no, I had the Brillo hair. Now I got to put the gel on.
Can't walk
you
in
look
any
good.
Jimmy J.J. Walker Dynamite t-shirt.
Well, and that's what was fun about last year about Clusterfest when we went up to San Francisco for that comedy festival. And they had that giant Crank Yankers big promotional thing right in the center of the whole festival. And it was all phone booths and different types of phones. You just pick them up and listen in on all the calls. It was a great idea.
That's great.
It was fun.
I'm glad. Look, I'll take it. They it was gone for 15 years or eight. It was gone, and you know, it's not like we ever campaigned to bring it back or anything. It's very
the people have spoken.
Stuff we did was gone, and people just wanted it back. I guess
plus,
Comedy Central
I think
did
they have
survey.
A little. Yeah, they have a little new blood at Comedy Central in the executive end that I think said, you know what? If we look at the analytics, maybe we should put two shows like, oh, I don't know, Daniel Tosh and Crank Yankers did really well for us.
Bundle them.
Yeah, bundle them, put them back on.
Yeah.
It's kind of like football coaching, you know what I mean? It's like for so many years it was based on hunch or like, this seems to work. This is conventional wisdom. This is what everyone does.
Take a shot.
Hey, let's look at the numbers. Let's look and see what really makes sense on first down.
I think they put something out and they just went, hey, Comedy Central. Fans, what show do you guys wish was back on? And they just went, we wish Crank Yankers was back on.
That's
so there they go.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Well, Jason Statham has quit the action comedy The Man from Toronto. That was co-starring Kevin Hart. And this happened just weeks before production is to begin. This is according to Deadline. Statham wanted the flick to have an R rating, but the studio wants a PG-13 since it's a holiday release. Sony Pictures hopes to replace him while holding on to Hart. Deadline also says Statham quit his talent agency WME over this following this abrupt departure. In the movie, Statham was supposed to play the world's deadliest assassin who's somehow mistaken for Hart's character, described as New York's biggest screw-up.
Do you guys see Spy with Melissa McCarthy?
Yep.
That's a movie that shouldn't have been good that was very funny.
Yeah,
was
fun.
With Jason Statham. That's the reason I thought
totally funny.
But to all of this over the rating... Like, is it a street cred
probably
thing?
Some other going on.
It sounds like some bargaining us. Going on there,
My inside
two of clubs covering an ace.
Sources.
That's what that is.
My inside sources tell me he's a pain in the ass to deal with.
Statham?
Yes.
He's always a bad boy.
They're guys that are notoriously easy.
Yeah.
And it's not all about the stature. I mean, you hear about... We all know the easy ones, and like a guy like The Rock, that guy's just totally easy, totally pro. Statham, more of a handful.
Okay.
I'm smelling. You got to understand, if you're in a movie like that, that is a Kevin Hart movie.
Right.
That's why it's going to be PG-13. That's why Kevin's getting more of this. Kevin's getting more of that. Kevin's going to get more attention. Kevin's going to be. If you're not willing to stand next to Kevin Hart on a red carpet. And be the straight man.
Right.
Be Bud Abbott. You're screwed.
He probably, there's some dispute over, you know, a placement of the names or on the poster, you know what I mean? There's probably some.
Not that he's not probably working right now and has no time, but I wonder if they would kick in The Rock instead if they need that.
Well,
then
it becomes a different. Right?
Then it's a different situation, but they've also worked together a couple of times now and done really well.
That's what I was thinking, We'll
so
see.
They might plug that in, or they could plug in Jeff Cesario.
That's right. Sure, of course.
I heard they might plug him in.
Yeah, the world's most
wanted
assassin
lately?
Or whatever. Yeah.
Who loves you, baby?
Cut glass.
Telly Savalas and Kevin Hart.
I mean, Telly,
together again for the first time.
Telly must have died in 19.
90 something.
It was early 90s, I think.
Didn't we have his daughter 94. On as a guest a few years ago?
Yeah.
What year did he die?
He died in 94, and yes, we have had his daughter as a guest, Ariana.
Lori Loughlin's chances...
Oh, she's a singer, right?
That's right.
Yum. Yeah. Her chances of skating in the College Admission scandal have gotten much better, and I'm sure Geragos knows all of this and probably predicted it. According to People magazine, quote, explosive evidence has come to light that could help exonerate her and her husband. Attorney Sean Berkowitz.
There's never going to be any victory because she's out $500K for the USC. She's out another $1.2 million in legal fees, and her kid's going to Valley College now. So where's the win?
And is she
going to
be re-embraced by, like, Lifetime or whatever those, Hallmark, whatever?
Yeah.
What I'm saying, she was like a staple of those Hallmark movies.
And speaking of re-embraced, how about reimbursed? Like, does SC get to hammer that check?
And the daughters dropped out.
Yeah, they don't go there anymore.
And they dropped out.
Okay. When you said skating, I thought they were shifting their major to skating.
From crew team to skating?
Yeah, from crew team
to skating.
There was a couple of actual openings in the skating team.
We didn't really need any photoshopping or any sleuthing. All you had to do is show me a couple of headshots of that one. I'm like, are you going to put 4 a.m. and row on a simulator for 7 hours? Let me take a look at you. I don't think
Olivia
so.
Olivia Jade?
Yeah.
She's a coxswain influencer.
Yeah.
Right.
What?
Yeah, I don't think that's
you. She may go
you,
that route eventually.
Because the crew team, every morning, 4 a.m. in the pool.
It's hard work.
Doesn't have that look.
Right.
Doesn't have that look.
The vibe.
No.
So this is the explosive evidence that everyone's talking about. That at least Sean Berkowitz is talking about, the lawyer. He says there's newly released information claiming that scam mastermind Rick Singer was told by the FBI to lie by saying that he told his clients that their payments were bribes rather than legitimate donations to the schools. So basically getting him to admit something that he never said to these people.
I know the FBI is kind of denying it. But on the other hand, just in general, the last few years, the FBI seems now like Jane. I now realize they may be up to things and are capable. I think they probably always were. We just never really. Yeah. I mean, J. Edgar Hoover and all that stuff.
They do go back and forth, but even in pop culture. There's, you know, the heroic Efren Zimlis Jr. FBI.
Right.
And then in virtually every comedy, the FBI is the bad guy.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
But either way, look, what I've learned from talking to Geragos about anyone who's trying to make a case about anybody else, any DAs or any of that stuff, they don't care. They just operate with total impunity.
What do you mean?
You talk about Duke Lacrosse and like Mike Nifong and everything, the DA over there, and they were like, we got receipts from ATM that says this kid was 30 miles away at the ATM the exact time you're accusing him of raping this dancer in the bathroom. And Mike Nifong's like, so what?
Neither here nor there.
Moving forward. Like,
yeah.
These guys have they operate in a world where they have an unlimited budget. Everyone else is counting their money all the time. Right. We have to weigh these decisions all the time. They're unlimited, and nothing ever happens to them, or usually, formerly never happened to them. And they're making their case. Like, once it comes before them, like, hey, there's this person. Did that person commit fraud to USC, or did that person rape a dancer in the bathroom of a frat house? The answer is, I don't know. I'm making a case.
And we'll see.
Your marching orders, you're making a case. Right. Not you're letting the person off, which is scary when they have an unlimited budget. And now you start dealing with the poor inner city black guy who does not have the firepower that she has. I mean, imagine what they can afford, her and Massimo, right? Now you get the court-appointed attorney who's not going to do all this stuff. Then where are you at?
Yeah.
Then they get to do whatever they want.
Plus, that DA motivation is I'm getting boned in the ass on salary because I'm not in the private sector, but look at the power I got. I'm going to start playing this game, and then I'll get to a place where I have even more power and can make real money.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want you guys to think for a second I'm defending black youth. I'm not.
It sounded
I'm
like you
focusing
were.
Focusing on rich actresses.
It was hypothetical. It seemed like you were bending
a little. I'm saying
a
some of the same principles apply. Sure. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah.
I know how that came across.
Right. William Shatner and his ex-wife, Elizabeth Martin, have divvied up their assets.
Oh, did I see this on TMZ?
Oh, this is a good headline.
Let me see if I can figure all the beats out. Poor you, Gina.
So to speak.
I just come in and steal your thunder.
That's okay. I can't wait for you to tell this story.
All right.
The big prize that William Shatner's walking away with.
It's his fourth wife. Mm-hmm. She gets the horses. he gets the semen to create the horses because he's a breeder.
Oh.
Okay? So he basically gets what's in the horse. She gets the horse. They also have rights to come to the ranch and pick fruit. They have like a, can she visit, is that a euphemism? She can visit an avocado tree. Like she has half custody of like an avocado tree.
Another euphemism.
And the urn and ashes of her last husband.
Were they fighting over that?
No, was that a dispute?
I don't know why the urn and the ashes are there. It was on TMZ or how it worked. But
he got the rights to the ashes semen.
That's right.
Well, he did, good for him. The prenup did honor his Star Trek royalties. So he's going to stick with that. But you're right. He does get custody of the horse semen. She they have four horses. Renaissance Man's Medici, Powder River Shirley, Belle Reeves So Photogenic, and Pebbles. And I still want to know how horses
just
are named.
Pebbles? Just
Belle
Pebbles.
Belle Reeves So Photogenic. And I never understand these names.
Some sort of equine Mad Libs.
It's got to be. There's one guy who was, you know, because when I used to work for the Conway Show back in the day, not like now again, there's always horse trainers on because he loves playing the ponies. And one guy ended up naming a horse after me named Gina with the News because I did news on that show. And they shot the horse.
Oh.
Horse went down.
Well, don't shoot the messenger, for God's sake.
That's right.
She got all the horses of the apocalypse, and he got nothing. Right? I mean, he got the semen.
Yeah. Which I guess,
mean, like she got the popsicle, and he got the stick. Right? But all right, it's got some street value.
Well, it's more like teach a man to fish or give a man a fish. He got the semen.
But here's what I'm saying:
can the horse not produce more semen?
Don't worry about the horse.
Shatner.
It's a question for Jeff.
First off, yes. Shatner didn't play this one right. You know what I mean?
Well, not at 95. I mean, if you're waiting for the horse semen to pay off, 3 months is too long. If you're William Shatner.
His last wife they found in a swimming pool. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like I would work that into the negotiation. You know,
you just keep
not in front of the attorneys.
On
the
his
mediation.
Part or hers?
Just sitting at the coffee table, you know, just at the breakfast table when she was talking about bouncing the ideas of divorce, you know, kicking around ideas of divorce and who was going to get which horses and all that kind of stuff. I'd be like, yeah, my last wife was talking about that. And then I came home and there she was just
Sunset
taking a
Boulevard
nap in the pool. Yeah. So
face down.
Coincidence?
Yeah. So why don't you think about our horse trading deal over here just a little bit? Because,
I wouldn't say I stepped lively to make the phone call.
Yeah. Just... It's funny because she was sort of toying with the idea like you are, and then she's in the pool. So hey, we got a pool out here. It's the same pool.
Huh. I don't much care for what you're implying.
I'm just saying. I know it's cool outside, but a dip never hurt. You know,
a forced dip.
In fact, that's what we'll name the horse: Forced Dip.
Forced Dip. Mm-hmm.
Coercion Dip.
Horse Majeure.
That's right.
Wow. Don't sleep on that one.
Did you say horse majeure?
That was good. Hey, if there's not a goddamn racehorse called Horse Majeure,
look that up right now.
Someone's leaving money at the window.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of travelers across the UK and Europe have been left stranded after a struggling little UK-based airline called Flybe, F-L-Y-B-E, suddenly just went out of business. The UK Civil Aviation Authority issued a statement announcing that Flybe has folded, all flights are canceled. Their message to travelers, please do not go to the airport as your Flybe flight will not be there. Flybe customers are urged to make their own alternate travel arrangements via airlines, whatever, rail, coach. Now, you think, well, what do you get back? I have a ticket. Where's my airline? Doesn't work that way. If you bought tickets directly from the company, you're not protected under travel insurance for some reason. However, if you bought through a travel agent, third party, you might be covered. Some people might be able to get their money back if they paid by credit card or debit card, but shop's closed.
I could top it. I was on Republic Airlines on a flight when it went bankrupt. And they just landed in Vegas and said, get off the plane, we're done.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Where were you going or coming back
from? I was coming back from a club date in, I think, Cleveland.
And you were supposed to land in LAX?
Yeah. And they just said, oh, we just got news. We're broke. we're landing in Vegas, and they're taking the plane, and we're done.
Wow. You
can't finish your trip?
The repo man came. Telly Savalas came.
Wow. That's crazy.
But I got the semen in the cellar.
Oh, good. You got a little jet A. It's, wow. They must have been
true.
Based out of Vegas or something?
I have no idea. I have
Republic.
No idea.
I've never heard of it.
And then so you just...
But that was back when, like, you know, 22... was non-smoking and 23 was the smoking section.
So, right.
You know, so it was a while ago. But yeah, I remember just thinking, man, this is hilarious. I cannot believe this.
And you got off and a good thing you weren't that far from
home. I think I just wound up, I think I just, you know, jumped one of those airlines and came back to L.A.
That's a good story.
Cool. Literally.
Yeah. In mid-flight, the guy come. You know, he's expecting a drink announcement.
Right.
And they just said, well, we just found out that we have gone bankrupt, and we will not be able to make it all the way to Los Angeles, folks.
Wow.
So,
that's insane. Going to
be landing
Money
in Las Vegas.
Mm. Wow.
And could get a little turbulent.
Yeah.
Because
we're going to
let go of the steering wheel right now.
I think they called a yoke, but that could be me.
They're not called steering wheels on planes?
Nah, they call them yokes. Right. But they have little half steering wheels on them.
Yeah, they're V bars or whatever.
I think they would call it the yoke.
That dude is yoked.
I don't know. What do they call the yoke?
I mean, I know it's the yoke in the Jimmy Stewart Meet Me in St. Louis movie or whatever that was. Spirit of St. Louis.
Spirit of St. Louis.
Hauling Lindbergh. Half a ladder in bare hands.
I still think it's called a yoke, but maybe
they still call the yoke.
Still call the yoke. Yeah. All right.
Did you learn that on TMZ?
I evidently have range because I know vavoom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also know flight instruments, but also know what's going on TMZ.
Yeah. With Cardi B, everybody.
I can turn a phrase for a racehorse name.
That's right.
I got a lot of range. All right. Let me hit Tommy John. Oh, man. Am I in love with my Tommy John? I got to tell you, I got a Jeff Cesario stand up, Tommy John. I was on my row. I'm wearing my Tommy John undershorts right now, underpants. But I was on my rowing machine last night, and I worked up a little froth, and I got off, and I was like, ooh, I got to be at the Laugh Factory. And I walked to my office to, like, change. And I was like, I don't think I need to, because I think this Tommy John, it'll dry.
Oh, yeah.
It'll dry on the way to the club. And I just pulled on my jeans, and I got my shoes on, and I left the house. And when I walked up on stage 45 minutes later, perfectly dry.
Wow.
Right. And still probably the fourth or fifth smelliest comic on that line.
That's right. Tommy John, everyone. This stuff is the best. It's made with proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn before. And you can get it either online at TommyJohn.com, or you can go to over 1,200 retail locations across the country, including Nordstrom stores nationwide. It is the best. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right, what else we got, Gina Grant?
Tyra Banks is opening a modeling theme park right here in California, over in Santa Monica.
Check, please.
It's called Model Land. It'll allow visitors to live their ultimate fashion fantasy, according to the press release. The America's Next Top Model host says it's not about, like, being a professional model. It's not about that. It's about just coming and taking the most amazing photos and getting tips and tricks and going on a story-driven journey. So here's how the prices shake down. VIP package run you $1,500. For that, you get a first class modeling shoot, extra photos, extra wardrobe changes, veiled VIP seating.
No hot chicks are going to this place.
No, this is for like...
It's going to be a bunch of wranglers for the Sultan of Brunei going, hey, where is model? We've come to model land. We've chartered a flight. Yeah. Where is? There's no...
No.
But it's no model?
We have this already. It's called Beverly Hills.
That's
we don't
right.
need this.
This is going to, I would imagine, this is high school girl graduation presents, tourist attraction, that kind of thing. You go and you take a bunch of pictures. And so you get extra wardrobe. You get a personal consultation and a goodie bag. Otherwise, the cheap seats, that's $59 a pop for adults and $39 for kids. If you bring your child and toddler and tiara them up and have them stand next to all this stuff, that gets you a basic ticket. the kids are 3 to 12 years old. You get a digital lookbook of photos and access to an immersive theater and the Model Land shop.
Be funny because like you go into an amusement park, you see a whole bunch of people barfing, and you're like, "What do they do? Ride the zipper? No, that's part of the that's the ride. Yeah. That's they have an eating disorder.
Experience.
This is immersive. You got to learn to bring it up.
Yeah,
but they didn't just get off the Widowmaker. No.
I got to try that.
They're just doing it. The guy's putting his hand down his.
Yeah,
putting her hand,
sure.
Finger down her throat.
It's called diet tips.
Yeah.
Well, and those are very popular right now. Like, I'm sure Christy knows about it. There's pop-up shops everywhere. There's pop-up experiences where, you know, here's a cool wall that looks like you have angel wings. Go stand next to it. There's just a lot of that
they're made
stuff
for Instagram
right now. Exactly.
The only good thing about Model Land is cigarettes are 50 cents a pack.
That's right.
You could smoke anywhere.
That's right. Yeah.
You're going to find this almost impossible to believe, as I did. There does not appear to ever be a racehorse named Horse Majeure.
That's unfortunate.
Wow. That's a
that's
real.
That's impressive.
That's the industry really coming up short.
Yeah.
Well, you got to.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Twitter, but I cannot find a horse named Horse Majeure.
Well, Maxipata. I must now buy the domain or something, the Horse Majeure, and then some guy's going to have to buy that off of me.
Yeah, and those horse guys have money.
Oh, yeah.
You can get a
plenty
of
fun.
They got money, and Shatner's got the semen.
That's right.
That's a good
together.
Country song.
That's right.
His kid can sing it.
Now,
whose kid is the singer? Telly Savalas' kid. Sure.
Yeah, that's right. Katy Perry announced in a roundabout way that she's expecting a baby with fiancé Orlando Bloom. So Wednesday night, she released her new music video called Never Worn White. At the conclusion, Katy stands in profile because the whole video she's in dresses. You can't tell anything. And we have a picture. She reveals her baby bump at the end of the video. And she seems to be, they're saying, in her second trimester. She hinted about the due date, saying, let's just say it's going to be a jam-packed summer. Her song is about accepting her marriage proposal, and Katy and Orlando were engaged a year ago on Valentine's Day, and I think they had plans to go to Japan to get married, but coronavirus may have delayed that.
Well, we've come a long way since the lyric "Four Dead in Ohio."
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we're just talking about
that's
it.
Right.
Now writing separate songs about the trimesters of their pregnancy.
That's right.
Interesting.
There's just too many celebrities.
Yeah,
there's too many.
And more coming straight out of Model Land.
And you know everything about them. Like when I was a kid, I knew nothing about Donna Dixon. Yeah. Nothing. I knew she was on TV.
I didn't know anything about Steve McQueen.
I didn't know anything about anybody.
Mysteriousness was part of the deal.
Wow. Yeah. There was something really alluring about really not having any idea what Paul Newman was like, you know, or Steve McQueen or any of these people. Now
it's a rare breed now.
Everyone is just chronicling everything all the time. And we were kind of talking about it. The one who transitioned over the last 3 years has been like De Niro. Like I didn't know anything about De Niro, and I kind of liked it that way. He's a mysteriously talented man. I didn't know his
decades.
Politics. I didn't know where. What I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
I don't see him pop up on The View and start foaming at the mouth. Yeah. I don't like that. I want him. I want him commanding the silver screen.
He's doing Cameo now.
That's right. That's
probably
it's De Niro. Hey,
yeah.
Let your buddy call you back. Let me know.
It was weird. I even just doing the Comedy Central roast with him up there kind of felt like, what are you doing up here with me, buddy? I mean, come on now. I watch Raging Bull. Now I'm making jokes about you being old. Like, you shouldn't be up here.
It's like Prager. You don't want to live in a world where Prager knows who you are.
Yeah, that's the way I looked at it. Like Dennis Prager. Yeah, I liked that he didn't know who I was. I don't want to know so much about these people.
Yeah, well, you're in the minority, apparently.
Yeah.
I guess, but is it? Is it good? Like I think it's the same. I think it's the same gene where when we grew up, I always think about this as an example, but it always kind of comes back to this. Like it was a big deal when The Grinch That Stole Christmas came on ABC December 14th, you know, on 8 o'clock on a Sunday night. Like it was a big deal. You circle it on the calendar. Like The Grinch is going to be on tonight and you hear the song and the whole night. The kids don't care about that shit anymore because they can watch it whenever they want. It's there all the time. Everything's there all the time. So if everything is there, then nothing is there. That's just the way we do it. And our celebrities were like B
big. I would fantasize about the life that they were leading. And now you hear about, you know, the all the stuff, all the dirty laundries out there, and they're getting divorced. I don't want to hear Mel Gibson screaming, "Blow me in a hot tub, you bitch." That would, you know what I mean? I would never picture Kirk Douglas doing that. No. Or, you know, it was like this was John Wayne. You imagine, so once in a while, he'd have a couple of pops and do a address some seniors at USC or something like that. There's some footage of that. And once in a while, there'd be some bootleg tape or some band leader or something screaming at everyone on a bus. But I want Mel Gibson to be, he's Road Warrior. Right. You know, I don't want him to be all
Alec
drunk.
Baldwin in an easement rights dispute with his neighbor.
Yeah, it's like
what?
I don't want to hear him yelling at his daughter.
Well, there's just silent footage of them screaming at each other across a broken fence.
Yes.
May I suggest you watch a different channel when you row?
Oh, that's a good TMZ. Point. Yeah.
You expose yourself quite often.
Well, I don't want to correct you, Gina.
Yeah.
But if that is your real name, because you do so many delightful characters, I don't know who you are anymore. I wrote to SportsCenter. I wrote a SportsCenter because I can't hear anything on the rowing machine. I just watch highlights, you know. TMZ, turn the sound up. I take a knee.
Oh.
Helmet's not a chair.
Sure.
I grab a knee in front of that and I study that shit.
That's good. Get your notepad.
And I can tell you that Shatner's fourth wife, Seaman, horses she got. And I don't know how the visitation with the urn and the fruit trees go. But there is a part that is stipulated in the divorce. Now, I'm not sure why the urn, there's a visitation thing with the urn, but it's you can look up that.
George Takei has to be present, and then he can visit.
George Takei. God, I miss sharing a van with him doing Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, man.
You want to talk about on point? No, it's nonstop Japanese internment talk. Like, it just never ends. I don't know. I guess my family's from Sicily. I'd be like, did you hear about the whole ethnic cleansing of the Sicilian people in 1871? Like, if I just never stop. This never. Yeah. I get it. You're Japanese. I get it. This was a bad thing. Now, please knock it off. Please turn the page.
Let's talk about anybody's ass.
1941. Like, here we go. And then you go, George, I'm really sorry about the whole Japanese internment. Japanese American. American. They were Japanese American who were interned. Like, okay. So I do miss that.
Yeah. You know, I was an intern at the Milwaukee Journal. Anything to try to get them off track.
Yeah. That's right. It'll not work.
Chris, you have some information.
Well, yeah. So in the article, Shatner gets to keep the ranch in Three Rivers, California, which is near Sequoia National Park. Although they have agreed that Elizabeth gets the right to, quote, occasionally harvest some fruit from the trees on the ranch, and it's also clearly special property to both of them because she can go there to visit the ashes of her first husband and some horse graves.
But so why? Why didn't she just take the ashes on with her?
Worst road trip ever. I've finally done the math. They scattered the fucking ashes at the thing. I thought it was in a Tupperware container. It's like, put that under your arm when you're leaving.
There's two lawyers just trying to get out of a room. They want it occasionally. Yeah, that's specific enough.
Yeah, that's good.
That's not going to get us in any trouble. Here and there.
Thank you for clearing that up. That made zero sense.
From time to time.
Why did you just take the box with her to wherever she's going next?
Well, I didn't. It wasn't in the article, but I'm doing the math. It had to be scattered. Yeah. Yeah. And then there's the horse graves. You can't hook one of those. You can't throw one of those in the trunk of the Aston Martin.
At least not as easy as horse semen.
Right. And then there's the harvesting of the fruit trees.
That's right.
Which is another euphemism.
Right.
So this is probably incredibly, admittedly naive of me because I'm not there yet.
Jack off that pear tree.
And hope, God willing, we'll all get there. But like Larry King, William Shatner, what is the point of getting divorced that late in life?
I always assume it's the younger woman's idea. I mean, I think without trying to be too nefarious, I think the beginning part is I've known who this person was since I was born as the young girl. You know what I mean? Like you watched this person. It was like, remember when Brian Austin Green was married to Megan Hot Fox. Stuff over there? It's like, And you're like, well, she's young and hot, and she's an A-lister at the time, whatever, and he's on. But she was watching 90210 when she was nine.
David Green.
And totally in love with this guy. So now she gets to 26. It's like, I get to marry the guy whose poster I had up my bed. And everyone else is going, well, why don't you date Bradley Cooper instead? It's like, because this guy had the poster up.
I didn't know who he was when I was 12.
I think there's an element of that. So I think there's an element of, I've known these names my whole life. And for the young, for the woman, the younger woman, then you get married and you go, well, how long could this guy hang on? And they never die.
They just
never die. And then at some point, you get to year 16 of the marriage and the bloom is kind of off. Now you're just married to an old guy. You're not married to that guy anymore. You're married to this guy.
8 year old,
And then at that point, you go, well, this guy's never going to die, and he's no longer Larry King anymore. He's just my husband.
Yeah.
Now, I still got a few good years left, man.
Looking for an exit.
Try
That's the way I felt when I was married to Angela Lansbury.
Well, that's like
get
that,
out of this. I got years left.
That recent Al Pacino story when she just came out and said, like, he's too old. He's elderly.
Right.
He didn't buy me anything. Mm. Please don't get that job.
Hold on.
I'm engaged to a younger man.
She
buys me plenty.
She was very persistent to be with Brian when she was 18. What does that mean?
Yeah, they met on set. He was 30. She was 18. Brian didn't want to have anything to do with it because of the age difference.
That's
what he's saying, but she wouldn't let up.
Yeah.
Shrews.
Well, anyway, I like Brian, and I think I like Megan, but either way, there's some dynamic happening, and that's probably part of it.
Plus,
that's
the old logical. Guy's like, hey, this is better than a will. You want the horses? Take them. Get them out of here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I got 6 months left. Who knows?
Like the day you buy a boat, the day you sell a boat, two best days of your life.
That's right.
Same thing with horses.
I wonder how old she was or is. He's 88, but he doesn't age, man. I mean,
no,
I've been to a few
not.
Of his events. He's coming here and all that kind of stuff. He's awesome. All right, let's bring him home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
And this is Harrelson's Own. They spent over a year formulating the best quality CBD, works quickly, tastes good, has a superior absorption method, I should say, completely organic and at a fair price. Harrelson's Own is a mint and vanilla oral spray formulated to provide full mind and body benefits, help you feel stable, calm, focused, and collected. Their nano-infused technology makes it completely water-soluble, so it's not CBD oil like you hear about. It's water-soluble, so the body absorbs it immediately. You'll feel it in a couple of minutes, not an hour, and that's what you're looking for, quick relief. They've got fun and informative video for you to learn more about all the hard work they put in on that product. So just hop online and check it out. Right, Dawson?
Go to harrelsonzone.com/Adam today, and they'll include free shipping. That's harrelsonzone.com/Adam.
She's about 60.
Yeah, Shatner's 88. Dunnigan's coming on the show on Monday, so we're already...
He's great.
Already thinking about characters for him, and now you, Gina Grad. Since you,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, you
we'll
know,
see what happens.
You're like the possession wide receiver, who had to go out and return a punt because the punt returner, the speedster from Stanford, pulled a groin, and you just took it to the house.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And now
they rely on you.
It's a real backhand compliment.
Yeah, it sure was. That's why I said
you're
I'm
not getting paid anymore, but you're out on punt return.
I'm playing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mike Dawson always tells me today's miracle is tomorrow's expectation.
That's right.
Oh, that's very good. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dawson.
It's kind of discouraging.
Right.
I would suggest, as an episode for Kyle and you, the Bloombergs. Mm. And it's just his wife just ragging him the entire time about why did you even bother to get into this
race.
Also, when you think about him, and I think about him, where's the prep? You know they're going to pull out all the conversation about the NDAs that everyone... Why?
Yeah.
Should you go full deer in the headlights when somebody asks you what has to be one of the first questions anyone's going to ask on that debate stage?
Yeah.
How can you not... I would have looked at my quarterback wristband and had something verbatim just worked out. I would have an earpiece in and a spotter up on the top of the bleachers. Right. I would have had a canned response. It was perfect for them. Not a blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I mean.
And what, not 4 score and 7 years ago. What did he say?
Oh,
our forefathers said that, you know what they said.
Oh, yeah. That's Biden.
Oh, sorry. Yes, you're right. Sorry.
But it could have been either one. Yeah. That's the
Biden. I'll save the Biden mashup for tomorrow, I think.
Next week, Monday.
Oh, for Monday. Yeah, sorry, for Monday. But yeah, Biden mashup. Yeah, I got that. The thing about the Biden thing, well, let's tease it for Monday, but there's some angles on that that I don't, that I take that I think are a little more interesting. It's not just him fumbling. He tried to modify it in the middle and screwed himself up. But anyway. All right. Jeff Cesario, everyone. The great Jeff Cesario.
Why, thank you very much.
The website, jeffcesario.com. The podcast, Play With Pain with Chet Waterhouse. Absolutely a tour de force. Available on Apple Podcasts. And we'll see you at the Peterson coming up on the 21st. And me, I'm going to be at Helium in St. Louis coming up April 10th and 11th at the Irvine Improv, 24th, 25th April. And then San Jose Improv, 1st and 2nd of May as well. And check out, we've seen Uppity, I guess, on Netflix. But if you want the Blu-ray, go to Chassis, chassy.com, and see all the movies over there. And you can pre-order the new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever finer books are sold. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Jeff Cesario, Gina Grad, and Bob Bryan, say it. Mahalo.
Today's miracle is tomorrow's expectation.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Come out and see Adam Carolla is unprepared, coming to a city near you all winter long. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.